Last week we began to look at the difficult subject of miracles and the transition from Egypt to the Sinai experience. Let's put ourselves back in the context of that discussion and see if we can take it a little bit further. Now, the context is like this. Let me revise for you one or two of the points of that discussion, see if we can set the scene. Very briefly, the Rambam Maimonides says that anyone who believes because of signs and wonders, because of miracles, is problematic. Right? That means belief by virtue of having seen a miracle is not ideal. The language the Rambam uses says, Yesh beliboi dofi. Yesh belibo dofi. Dofi means an impure taste. It's not there's something not pure or complete when a person is believing in prophecy, or in that particular case he's talking about prophecy, or the prophecy of Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu. But generally we could say belief in Hashem, in God. Belief that is achieved by inference or deduction because he saw something that controverts nature is impressive, but it's not complete. And he says why? He says because when you see a miracle, you could reason that it was performed by means that are, by various means, he says, lat v'kishuv. Lat v'kishuv means, lat means the use of certain spiritual energies or beings, let's say. And kishuv means what in English we translate as sorcery. I mean, these words are very misleading and inadequate or misleading in English. But nevertheless, there are these energies or forces that could be the explanation for what you saw that appeared to be miraculous. And therefore, instead of believing in Hashem, instead of relating to God Himself, to Hashem, you might say that these things were performed by some sort of energy or some sort of intervention. And therefore, because that possibility is open, although of course you may not, you may say this miracle demonstrates that there's a master of all that transpires, but you may not, you may say that this is done through some other means. And therefore, the Rambam goes on to say that the miracles that occurred in the Exodus, now again, let's focus carefully, the miracles that occurred during the Exodus were done for reasons other than proving the veracity of the experience or proving that Hashem exists. Right? The Rambam says, for example, he's quite clear about it, he says that the reasons that those miracles took place is because each one was necessary. For example, he says that the reason that the miracles were done was because each one had a need. For example, we needed food, so the manna came down, man came down. Or the sea, we needed to escape, and the Egyptians to be trapped, so the sea split and it, right? Or we needed water, so the rock was split and water came out. But lefiat tzorech asan, that's what he says. Each one was done because there was a specific need. Do not think that the miracles were there to prove what lies behind them, right? That's what he says. The Ramban uses virtually the same language also in his commentary on Chumash, and he says that exactly the same thing. He says that if a person sees miracles, then he might say that these were done by agencies other than the source itself, and that is problematic. And therefore, when we stood at Sinai, that possibility was closed. When we moved on from that phase of open miracles that were demonstrated in the Exodus from Egypt, and we stood at Sinai, which was a personal direct revelation, that means we didn't see miracles that proved to us that something else exists, but we saw, we experienced a direct, intimate, personal bond. After such a revelation, there's no more possibility of this doubt situation. Because then the Rambam's language is that is manifestation, she'en achareha, there's no, in English you say second thoughts. You can't, there's no second thoughts. Maybe it was true, maybe it wasn't. Once we had our own personal experience. And the Ramban goes on to say that because of that, we've carried with us throughout history this experience of Sinai. And not only that, what does it mean throughout history? It means that our children have this direct experience. And this is a very problematic thing to understand, but the Ramban says, because we've told our children, and each generation has told the next one, therefore, throughout Jewish history, Jewish children will know that we stood at Sinai, and they will know it, he seems to suggest, as securely as those who stood there. And he explains, the Ramban says, because shelon nanchil sheker lebanen, we don't give over an inheritance of lies to our children. Why is it that children believe the whole story of Exodus and Sinai? Says the Ramban, because people don't give over lies to their children, and the children therefore will trust, and he says they will believe, they'll have no doubt, that this was our experience, and they will know it forever. That's what he says. In fact, he goes on to say that if a false prophet arises and says that you now must change your way of life and changes one of the mitzvahs, and even if he performs a sign that appears miraculous, he says we will know that he's false, right? We will know the lies that he's perpetrating, and if necessary, he'll be put to death according to Torah law. And that is because we will have no doubt, since we had our own personal experience. Now, this leaves us with a number of questions. I think last week we began to explore them. Let's try and summarize the problems. First of all, focus with me carefully. If the experience, this is Pesach, right? Next week, you're going to have to know this. The Pesach Seder, you have to have what to say at the table. Children, say to yourself, your family. This is what we have to talk about. It's the Pesach Seder, where the most intense experience of Jewish handing over the tradition, right? That's the most intense experience in the Jewish family of handing over the tradition that the Ramban talks about, that we stood at Sinai, we went out of Egypt, we stood at Sinai. And each generation of Jews knows it as intensely as the former one, as the previous one. This is where it happens. There's an electricity that is generated at the Pesach Seder where this thing is transmitted. There's nothing, very, very few things more important than that. So let's see if we can plumb its depths. The first question is, if you argue that the signs and wonders of the Exodus, the miracles that occurred in Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Exodus, are inadequate as proof. They're inadequate as proof because you could always second guess them and say they were done through certain kinds of energies. The question we're faced with is, right, but how come the Egyptians were supposed to believe? The Egyptians, they'd never stood at Sinai, right? That was a Jewish experience. We stood at Sinai. The Egyptians did not stand at Sinai. So if you mean to tell me that what they were exposed to, the Egyptians in Egypt, they saw these signs, miracles, wonders, etc., and later you tell me that that's actually inadequate as a proof, then what about the poor Egyptians who are supposed to believe? On the contrary, the Torah says explicitly in many different ways that the reason that the miracles were performed in Egypt was so that they would know. Yeah, are we together? That means there was a purpose here of demonstrating Hashem's power and His presence and His power. And in fact, the Ramban says that the purpose of the miracles was to demonstrate all the fundamentals of Jewish belief. And in fact, he lists them. You see from the Exodus, you see Hashem's existence, you see His power over nature, you see that He knows what's happening, you see reward and punishment, that those who deserve are redeemed, those who don't are punished. You see all the fundamentals of Jewish belief. He enumerates them. So if you're supposed to use that experience to come to believe, then it must be adequate. Because if the challenge is for the Egyptians to believe, and not only that, the Egyptians did believe. When it was all said and done, all the miracles took place. All the plagues that happened, and all the plagues happened in miraculous fashion. The Egyptians clearly recognized what was happening. Right? In fact, they were big experts in Lat and Kishuf, the Egyptians. Big experts in sorcery and witchcraft and magic. They saw clearly what was happening. Well then, what's happening here? Is the experience of the Exodus, are those miracles adequate to establish what we want to establish, Hashem's existence and His power? If they're adequate, and we see that they were adequate because they were designed to be adequate so that the Egyptians would understand, and in fact they were successful because the Egyptians did see, certainly we saw, then why do you need Sinai? Why do you need the personal experience of standing at Sinai if the precursor events, which were miraculous, were enough of a proof? And if you tell me that they weren't enough of a proof, then how do you expect the Egyptians to recognize it? Are we together? You know, the whole discussion of the leaving of Egypt is miracles. You have to understand what you can't avoid it. You might feel as a modern individual that, you know, miracles feel a little uncomfortable because you never saw any of those. You have to understand, this is where we're based. In fact, on the contrary, the Rambam says, remarkably, that the mitzvah of the Pesach Seder is to talk about the miracles. You know that? He does not even say that there's a mitzvah, a commandment, to talk about the Exodus. You know that amazing thing? If you look up the Rambam's language, when he delineates the mitzvah, the commandment, to tell about the Exodus, which is what the Pesach Seder is, one of the two mitzvot doraita, that means the two Torah mitzvahs on this night. You know, on the Pesach Seder night, there are two Torah mitzvahs, telling the story of the Exodus from Egypt and eating matzah, right? The two Torah mitzvahs. The wine is a rabbinic mitzvah. The bitter herbs are rabbinic mitzvah, right? Saying Hallel is rabbinic. But the two mitzvahs that are Torah mitzvahs are Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of the going out of Egypt, and eating matzah. There's actually a third one, which is the Pesach Korban, the sacrifice, which we don't have today. Right? But the two that we do have are those. So Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of going out of Egypt. So the Rambam's language is like this. Mitzvah, says, it's a mitzvah to tell, listen to his language, Lisaper, to tell Benissim Veniflos, about the miracles and wonders that took place to our forefathers in Egypt. He doesn't even mention going out. And how does he know it? He says, because the verse says, remember this day that you went out of Egypt. So the verse in the Torah says openly that what you have to remember is going out. And the Rambam's translation of the practical application of that verse is talk about miracles. He doesn't even mention going out. What's going on? Obviously the Rambam understands that our obligation is primarily to talk about the fact that it was miraculous. The way you tell your children about the fact that we were slaves in Egypt, we went out, is that it happened in a miraculous fashion. If it's very extreme, this, it comes out according to the Rambam, that if you sit down at the Pesach Seder, you tell your children, we were slaves in a strange land, and eventually we were freed, and moved to the desert, and became an independent people in our own land, you've not fulfilled the mitzvah. Because if all you tell is the geopolitical story, you know, the sociological, historical, geographic story, so that's not who we are. And it's readily understandable, because that's not who we are. Every other nation is that. Every other nation is a story of you know, achieving national existence and identity and perhaps independence for as long as it lasted for any other nation. But that's not who we are. The geopolitical events that led us to our becoming who we are is not the issue. The issue for us is that it was miraculous. That's the issue. We live on another plane. You know, one of the best ways to demonstrate this, as Sos Emma says, is that the whole, if the mitzvah of this night is to sit down and talk about miracles, the definition of a miracle is that which breaks the natural order. Right? The word for order in Hebrew is seder, an order. That which breaks the natural order is a miracle. This